Right. It's a Val. Hi, Val.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Before you talk to us, tell us whereabouts in Oklahoma and what's the weather like looking out the window now?
Well, I'm in the southwest quadrant of the state, mm-hmm. and it's clear skies, and it was actually chilly today. It was in the 50s.
Oh, right. So that's the weather. But that's not a conspiracy theory, is it? That's
no.
genuine.
No.
That's great. Tell us about you. Tell us the background and why you've got so involved with this.
I stumbled by accident onto AboveTopSecret.com back in 2003. I was actually reading on one of my areas of interest is seismic activity. And I found a link that went to a thread in this discussion forum, and I was hooked instantly once I saw everything that was in here and the way they were treating the topics. And this board, I'm really proud of AboveTopSecret.com because it has kind of moved conspiracy theories into a new stage. It's evolving it into critical thinking and critical thinking discussions.
But why does everything have to be a conspiracy? Why can't anything be straightforward?
Oh, well, I am typically on the skeptical side of things, not all the time. And I agree, everything does not have to be complicated. In fact, I would offer that if you had a very good conspiracy theory, it would actually be simplistic. It would have to be, in order to be logical and believable and plausible. You've got to be able to minimize the people that are involved in the theory, because you can't run around for the rest of your life trying to keep thousands of people quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, the plot, I would think, would need to be very simple.
How many theories have you actually looked at yourself?
I don't know that I would say theories. I just study in areas that I get interested in. For instance, I wrote the Flight to 9/11 series, and that was just starting back around the first of the 20th century and looking at what political and diplomatic things took place to lead up to 9/11. And there really wasn't any kind of conspiracy theory in that. I just went back and looked at the documents.
And what did you conclude after looking at the documents?
That everybody's in the wrong. It's a matter of perception and maybe misperception, but at the same time, it's a matter of U.S. foreign policy never adjusting itself to be seen better. Also, U.S. foreign policy just absolutely not being right, not giving equity to two sides of the Israeli-Palestinian situation. It's the UN just literally being a wart on the world's rear end and not being able to fix in 60 years the problem that they really and truly was the concept behind why the UN ended up being formed. And so it's everybody.
Has anybody tried to shut you up?
No, absolutely not. No.
Really? But I just said to Pat, who was talking about 9/11, and I believe there's thousands of ideas on the website about what has actually happened at 9/11. But surely if a government like George Bush's government or whoever had set that up, surely the whole of your nation would want his blood.
I agree. I agree with that statement. And I can't say that I have ever found anything that would lead me to believe that the U.S. government set up 9/11. Now, there are some information gaps, there are anomalies, and there are outright lies in the official account of the 9/11 events. And those things need to be pursued. What we've noticed on Above Top Secret is that there is what Skeptic Overlord, one of the owners of the board, calls the conspiracy. And if you go back to about 2002, 2003, these information gaps, anomalies, and outright lies were being addressed and looked into. And then all of a sudden, the discussion boards on the internet started taking a turn toward these banal arguments about whether a plane or a missile went into the Pentagon. Well, I-95 was full of commuters that day. They had a 757 go 20 feet over their head. They know what they saw. And so there is another website that I'll actually plug. It's called whatreallyhappened.com. And I don't know what all is on that website, but I found one article that was very intriguing. And it was that the U.S. government may be actually directly promoting the no plane argument in order to distract people from looking into the areas that do beg attention. And so I don't know if you've ever heard of the Northwood documents.
No.
Okay, those were released under the Freedom of Information Act, and I believe they're from the 60s. And it was a plan that the U.S. government, a scenario that the U.S. government worked up about shooting commuter airplanes down with U.S. citizens in them, blaming the shootdowns on the Cubans so that the U.S. government would have a reason to invade Cuba. Now, of course, it never was done, but it is a legitimate scenario that was worked up and put on paper and has now been released through the Freedom of Information Act. So there are things that you can't just dismiss. For instance, there could be that the U.S. government knew what was going to happen and intentionally didn't do enough. I mean, that's one scenario. I'm not saying I buy that. I'm saying as a critical thinker, I have not found the evidence that will preclude that. And that's my feelings on that.
Right. So what about, is America based on conspiracy theories? I mean, is everything that the government do, everything that the FBI do, everything that the CIA do, is it all conspiracy?
Well, not as far as I'm concerned, no. I think there's been some things since 9/11 that have begun to concern more and more of the general population and maybe are increasing the number of critical thinkers. And that's the Patriot Act, the encroachments that we see happening more and more on our privacy. We're concerned. There are people that are concerned about the Downing Street memo and other pieces of evidence that would point to an intentional falsification of intelligence leading to the invasion of Iraq. Those kind of things should be concerning to a critical thinker.
What else have you looked into?
René Le Chateau, and I'm giggling because I asked for help on saying that. I'm from Oklahoma.
Say that again.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, well, I don't know what you said. I didn't understand it. What did you say? Go on.
René Le Chateau.
God, I can't even say it myself. René Le Chateau.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's that goofy little church over in the south of France.
Right.
With the priest, Saunier, who was supposed to have found something. And it changed his life. And it's one of my favorite conspiracy theories. It's not really a conspiracy theory. It's more of a research area.
Tell us the story.
Well, he found something. Well, he began to remodel the church, and allegedly under the altar in one of the columns that supported it, he found something, maybe documents. And he went to the Vatican. He went to Paris. He went a lot of places. Whatever he found was not revealed. It was taken from him. And all of a sudden, he lived with a lot of money for the rest of his life. He kind of got lots of money. And the neat thing about this issue is that if you pursue it, it's one of the deepest rabbit holes you can go down. And it actually turns into a complex series of intersecting tunnels. You can hit everything from the Knights Templar, Freemasonry, Cult of the Black Madonna, Mary Magdalene, and possibly the Child of Christ. And that leads to the different theories of the Holy Grail, the Merovingian dynasties, which leads to European royalty bloodlines, what's called the Black Nobility, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, the
now,
World Order.
Down that rabbit hole, do we find the Da Vinci Code anywhere?
No, I'll tell you what. That's kind of a sore spot with me.
Go on. Sore away.
Okay, I'm real sore. I'm so sore I'm never going to read it. So all right, that's kind of unfair, but I'm so sore I'm never going to read it.
You mean you're not going to watch Tom Hanks in the film?
Is Tom going to be in it?
He's starring in it, yes.
God, now I've got to see it.
They've been making over in England. They've been filming at Lincoln Cathedral because no other church would give them permission.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sore because I started researching this like 94, 95, and I spent about 5 years researching it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Dan Brown did the same thing. But instead of writing a book on his research, he fictionalized something that really does warrant serious investigation. And that's what I have a problem with.
Right. Will you hang on there while I take a break?
Sure.
We're speaking to a lovely lady called Val Hall, who's in Oklahoma. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. Don't forget, we are asking you to vote on a conspiracy theory.
Late Night Radio City.
Pete Price.
Radio City 96.7.
And we're speaking to a lovely lady in Oklahoma. We're going to be back with her in a second. She's a critical thinker. She's actually one of the most prolific, experienced writers and researchers of conspiracy theories in America. We're going to be back with her in a second. Can I remind you that we're giving you four theories: JFK, the moon, Diane, and Area 51. If you pick one of those theories, we will investigate it in 2 weeks' time. If you go to the website radiocity.co.uk, radiocity.co.uk, click on DJ's names, my name, Pete Price, and then vote for which one you want, and we'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are clear. Everybody has an idea on conspiracy theories. We want to hear from you. Give us a ring right now. Jay's sitting in the hot seat. Let's hear your conspiracy. We're here till 12 o'clock, 01514720967. Right. Conspiracy number two.
Late Night Radio City.
Pete Price.
Radio City 96.7.
Conspiracy theory number two is that of the death of Princess Diana. Famous people meeting strange ends is a phenomenon that always seems to bring out the conspiracy theorists. The death of Diana, Princess of Wales, is no exception. Was her death faked? Was Diana so fed up with the constant intrusion into her personal life by the media that she faked her own death? One claim is that the crash was an attempt at a faked death that went horribly wrong and ultimately led to her end. Did MI6 kill Diana? Rogue elements in the British Secret Service suggest that Diana was a threat to the throne and therefore the stability of the state. Did they take her out? There's been so much speculation into the death of the Princess of Wales. Is this a conspiracy theory you want us to look into and investigate? If so, vote online now. Simply go to Pete's page on our website, radiocity.co.uk. Okay, and cast your vote.
Pete Price, Late Night Radio City. Call Pete now on 0151 4720967. Text your message to 80967 or email pete@radiocity.co.uk.
And if you want to join us then, do give us a ring as we want to hear from you. An email here from Michael says, I'm a long-time member of conspiracy websites above topsecret.com since 2003. Conspiracy theories exist for a reason. It is not that people want to believe in something more about a topic, but it is because there are so many suspicious loose ends and strange happenings revolving around many of the topics. This raises so many questions in people's minds. The critical research begins. Conspiracy is really just a term to try and trivialize our research. And if you can see past terms like this and see the evidence that has been uncovered on some subjects, then you can truly deny ignorance. Thank you very much for that. We're talking to a young lady in Oklahoma called Val Hall. Val, we went down the road of Da Vinci and you made your opinion very strongly on air.
Okay.
Give us another conspiracy theory.
Well, of course, we did the events of 9/11 and I think something that warrants as much investigation are some of the anomalies surrounding Year 77.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll throw one out that will probably surprise some of my co-members, and that is one area that I think hasn't been researched enough is the Nickberg beheading. I think there are a lot of information gaps and anomalies surrounding that story. And so that's something that needs to be looked into in a critical way. And let's see. JFK, I've recently been looking at JFK myself, and that's always fascinating. The classics are fascinating. And let me tell you something, there's always new stuff coming out. It's pretty interesting. But one thing that I've said a number of times is that the real trick is trying to get to the truth real time. I mean, the current events right now. And I'll give you a current event now that the difference between the way a typical person would look at it and the way a critical thinker would look at it, so maybe you can understand. This whole fiasco with the cartoons and then the embassies being burned and the multiple protests and all.
Yeah.
Okay, your average citizen is going to sit on their couch and they're going to see all of that, and they're going to make some decision one way or the other that it was just a hideous thing for the cartoons and now we've gone and done it, or that it was in fact inappropriate and offensive, but now the Muslims are way overkill, right?
But how are they way overkill? Because they've been whipped up to hysteria by a group of Muslims who've gone over and had a go at them.
And there's your critical thinking. Because if a critical thinker will say, this is a really odd time, one, for those cartoons to run at all. If it was immediately after 9/11, if it was immediately after 7/7, it would have a bit of a timing to it, wouldn't it? But we're not in some peak suicide bombing period here. And so all of a sudden, these cartoons hit at a time when the Western nations are trying to force Iran before the UN Security Council. Well, that's an odd timing. A critical thinker is going to catch on that, and they're going to go and they're going to start looking. And what they're going to find is, yes, there was a set of offensive cartoons ran in some European newspapers, but guess what? There were some more offensive ones that were not ran. And for some reason, those more offensive ones that were never published in a European newspaper were shipped over to a Mideastern newspaper and ran over there.
But I was told that I read up that, in fact, some very sort of radical Muslims took those over there to other countries, took them themselves and showed them, and they got them printed because they wanted to whip up hysteria.
Exactly. And whether it be the radical Muslims that did it or somebody else, it's this path of looking down it and finding, hey, there's a little bit more here than just accepting whatever the spin is on the news station you're watching. And I think that's what separates the people who become addicted to discussion boards like our Above Top Secret. We actually get addicted to the fellowship, to the discussion, and the logic we have to go through in fleshing these weird events out.
What's the most bizarre theory you found or looked at?
Well, bizarre as in
bizarre,
hard
to, absolutely hard to believe.
Absolutely hard to believe. Okay, that would be any conspiracy theory that fits in the following form. Everybody who witnessed it was in on it. For instance, there are people in the JFK assassination that believe every single witness in Dealey Plaza was a plant, that the whole thing was fake, that every photo's been doctored, every film has been doctored. Okay, I'm sorry, but that I can't accept that. It's almost impossible. It's not what a logical person would even attempt to do. I mean, what are they walking around behind these thousands of people for the rest of their life to make sure they keep their mouth shut? And the same kind of theory has been applied to the Pentagon attack on 9/11, that everybody on I-95 who says they saw the plane was in on it, and it was really a missile. Those are the kind I get short.
What about the moon? Did we land on the moon or not?
Well, of course we did.
Because I think it's bizarre. I mean, I really think some of these conspiracy ideas are absolutely out the window.
Well, some of them are. But you know what? you just have to live side by side with the people. And there are some people that I call it getting married to their theory. And that goes either as the skeptic side or the conspiracy theory side. Somebody becomes closed-minded and they latch themselves for eternity to their theory, and they no longer can be a critical thinker. They have no ability to take in a fact that may contradict whatever side of the argument they're on. And that's just as bad for people who are skeptics as it is for people who are conspiracy theorists.
Now, Diana is the big one over here. I mean, people just will not let it go. I've just had an email now. Diana's going to marry Dodi, who is an Arab. The royal family wouldn't want an Arab in the family, so they had him killed off. To add to the conspiracy, a British man inspected the Diana case, had all his evidence on his computer, which has recently been stolen.
It
actually happened. The guy who's investigating now has had his computer stolen with all the information on it. It's on the news 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
I'll be.
I just like a simple life. I just get on with that. No, somebody's died, they've died. I just can't see past the end of my nose. And I must be the only one who is against most conspiracy theories.
Well, Pete, it's okay, because we're covering your back.
Oh, right.
While you're sitting there not seeing past your nose, there is a whole team of us looking for the truth.
So, I mean, I suppose one of the biggest conspiracy theories is that Rodgers and Hammerstein didn't write Oklahoma. It was just a figment of my imagination. One of my favorite musicals of all time, that.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're there now. That. You're there now with all the feels. What about, I mean, have you heard this conspiracy theory on the Titanic being a different boat? Ship.
No, I hadn't heard that one.
Well, apparently it was a different ship, and they crashed it because they wanted insurance, but they didn't expect it to sink. They just wanted to crash it.
Oh. God. Well, you know, no, I hadn't heard that one.
Right. So, of all the conspiracies you've looked at, what's the one over, how many years have you been looking at them now?
Well, I've been on Above Top Secret since 2003. And I had been on alternative topic discussion boards for about 5 years before that.
And do you write about these theories?
Yeah, I do. I write articles on the board.
So, and what do you write for? Oh, you don't write for a magazine. It's just for the board.
No, just for the board.
Right.
Yes. We have a news network there, and I write articles for it, and then I do discussion board threads. That's about it.
And how do your family feel about it? Because you must be up all hours when you get into something. It must be very difficult to put down.
They think I'm whacked. Not really. I'm just kidding. I'm actually kind of lucky in that regard, in that I only have two children. One's grown and out of the house. The other one, it's a 16-year-old daughter. Okay, she doesn't want to be around me very much in the first place now, right? She's got to go get in her little car and run up and down the highway and use all her money on gas.
Yeah.
So, I try to work on things every night and hang out with my friends on the discussion board and learn from them, because that's the way my world has expanded, is to become open-minded enough to read every single thing, even if I eventually can't accept it, to at least bring it in for consideration before rejecting it.
It's been a fascinating discussion, and you started the ball rolling because there's a lot of phone calls coming in. I've got a personal website called ppetprice.com.
Okay.
With a forum. So I'd love you to send an email over to it and put a link on so we can get into you and have a look at you.
Okay, I sure will.
I hope we're going to be speaking again.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So, any conspiracy theories about us tonight? I mean, is this going to be perceived as maybe we're going to have an affair, or is somebody going to read more into this than just a phone call onto a radio station?
Sure they will.
All right. Val, thank you very much. Speak to you again.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Val Howler from Oklahoma.
Pete Price, Late Night Radio City.